Thank you very much. We now come to that time in these morning's committees to introduce the Operations Committee. And I'd like to make sure that we have a quorum. Do, in fact, we have a quorum? Thank you. Having discovered that we have a quorum, we'll move on to agenda item number 2, which is the consent calendar, and I would request committee approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
Who made the motion, please? Commissioner Luce, and who seconded it?
Second.
The person next to me, Halstead. Just so you know, I have had a request from staff to make quite sure that we clearly identify ourselves when we make a motion and make a second. So if I'm a wee bit fussy today, try to introduce this discipline into the into our operations here. Okay, we have a motion with a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Consent calendar passes. That brings us to agenda item number 3, arterial operations program. This is a significant item, and the staff report is going to be given by Lin Zhang.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Lin Zhang, MTC Operations Section. I'm here to present item number 3. This item is related to arterial operations program. As we all know, congestion happens not only on freeways, but also on major arterials as well. Over the last 15 years, MTC has been providing technical assistance to local agencies to retime signals through its PASS program, the Program for Arterial System Synchronization. Recently, MTC launched a program, it's called a Next Generation Arterial Operations Program, or Next Gen AOP, focusing on applying advanced technologies to better manage and operate arterials. In April 2014, MTC issued a call for projects, and we received 21 applications. Staff evaluated each application against the evaluation criteria, which includes the ability to improve travel time, reliability, safety, project readiness, and project management capacity. Because there were so many good applications, while in the meantime we had limited funding, so we also screened projects using additional 2 factors: whether the corridor serves as freeway reliever route, or the corridor is located within a high growth area in terms of job and housing. Based on the evaluation, staff recommends approval of 4 next-gen AOP projects, including 2 projects applied for both the next-gen AOP and the Transit Performance Initiative, or TPI, programs, which were recommended and approved by the Programming and Allocations Committee, PACT Committee, on Wednesday. Both the next-gen AOP and TPI share a common goal of improving transit services and traffic flow along busy arterials. These 4 recommended projects are included in Attachment A of your packet. They are City of Fremont, Fremont Boulevard Adaptive Signal Control, County of Santa Clara, County Expressway Real-Time Traffic Monitoring, and Predictive Traffic Signal Coordination. And the 2 joint next-gen AOP and TPI projects include AC Transit, South Alameda County Major Corridors Travel Time Improvement Project, and Lavta Dublin Boulevard TPI project. The first phase of this next-gen AOP project involves system engineering analysis to develop COPs and system requirements, which is required by the federal government for the federal regulations for complex ITS projects using federal funds. Consultant services are needed to perform system engineering analysis. ITERIS was approved by this committee in July 2013 to provide technical services for PASS and related pilot projects. Over the last 3 years, ITERIS has provided a system engineering analysis for over 25 agencies. Staff recommends amending ITERIS contract to conduct this system engineering work. In summary, staff recommends this committee approve the next-gen AOP projects. Staff also recommends using ITERIS to perform system engineering services for next-gen AOP projects. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
And thank you for your report. Let me see if there are any questions from the committee. I see no questions. I have no public comment cards. So the recommendation is that we approve the next-gen AOP cycle of projects that are listed in Attachment A. I'd entertain a motion, please.
So moved.
Sorry, who made the motion?
Commissioner Aguirre, so moved.
Thank you. And the second, Commissioner Spearing. Thank you for that. Any further discussion? I see a light. Sorry, Commissioner Aguirre, and then Commissioner Luce. Oh, sorry, Commissioner Luce.
I'm supportive of these actions. Just wanted to note Caltrans had put in an application for the Highway 29 corridor through American Canyon. Didn't qualify, which is fine, but it is certainly a priority in our community, so hopefully we'll have a chance to look at that in the future.
Okay. Let the record show that Commissioner Luce brought up the Highway 29 American Canyon project as one deserving of further attention at a later stage. That being said, all those in favor of the recommendation say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. So that passes. We now come to agenda item number four. That was a committee approval item. Number four is an informational item, the California Strategic Highway Plan update, and I believe we have, am I correct, someone from Cambridge Systematics who is going to present to us?
Good morning, Commissioners. Melanie Crotty. I'll introduce Caltrans headquarters approached MTC about providing an update on their statewide strategic highway safety plan. We thought it would be appropriate for this committee to receive that update, and they have asked George Major to provide the update. So with that, I'd like to introduce George to the committee.
Good morning, Commissioners. I'm here to give you a brief overview of the California Strategic Highway Safety Plan update process that is underway now and is being led by Caltrans in partnership with a number of other state, regional, and local partners. First, I'd like to get a sense of everyone's familiarity with the Strategic Highway Safety Plan. Have any of you or anyone in the audience heard of this process before or this plan? If you could raise your hand. Okay. That makes my second question moot then as to whether you participated in it. So I'm glad I'm here to get all of you interested in it. What I begin with is SHSPs are required by the Federal Highway Administration, and they influence actually a pretty large chunk of federal Highway Safety Improvement Program funding. So it is a very very important process to have in place. The SHSP process is strategic in nature. It focuses resources on the most significant problems so the greatest progress can be made. And it relies heavily on analysis of crash data. It's very data-driven to understand what factors are involved in crashes so we can target those factors. I think it's widely reported and pretty well known that traffic crashes cause substantial human and economic damage. And, in sync with the discussion in the prior committee meeting, Plan Bay Area and all of the countywide transportation plans reflect crashes and safety as part of their process. Actually, we can move on. So the SHSP has actually been a real success story, even though apparently many of you have not heard about it before. More than 600 people have actually helped develop the original plan, and hundreds have been working over the past 8 years to implement it. It involves a range of perspectives in addressing crash reduction in the largest problem areas. And you may have heard the terms of the four E's, kind of the different legs of the safety process: enforcement, education, engineering, and emergency response. I think a lot of you at this table may be most familiar with the engineering or the infrastructure side, but large progress has been made in the other areas, and a lot of non-traditional transportation planning partners are engaged in the SHSP process because of the enforcement, education, and emergency response components to that. So, as you can see here, from when the first SHSP was adopted in 2006, California has reduced fatalities by 28%, while serious injuries have gone down 17%. I'll point out that these are much larger reduction than the well-reported reduction in car travel and vehicle miles traveled that many of you have heard about. The lowest numbers were reached in 2010, and we've seen a slight uptick in both injuries and fatalities the past few years. So this in this update process, we're really going to focus on why that update trend is now reversing, and this is one of the things we really need everyone's help on at all levels throughout California. Go up here. So where we're doing the SHSP update, because it's been 8 years since the last update, and at this point, we're still losing 3,000 Californians every year to preventable death and injury. And importantly, the SHSP, and I think a lot of our plans, now refer to crashes rather than accidents, because they are crashes and they are preventable. So since 2006, 177 of the 179 actions in the SHSP have been completed. These actions span a range of the four E's. There are some examples you see on the slide there. Some that might be of most interest to these committee members and your local staff would be in the intersection area, where work has been done with high crash intersections and safety countermeasures. And particularly the last one, where an online tool available through UC Berkeley's SafeTruck program is now available for local agency use on local roadways. So the question here is why I'm taking your time this morning and why are we here today? First off, we need to engage everyone who has a role in safety to get their ideas for the types of improvements and to commit to help in implementing the plan over the next several years. Secondly, we need safety champions at all levels. This can't just be an executive committee or an SHSP committee implementation. All different levels of government are needed. And third, I hinted at the funding before, is just as Plan Bay Area influences regional funding decisions, substantial hundreds of millions of dollars of safety projects and initiatives need to be linked to the SHSP. So ultimate decisions down the road to fund individual local projects link to the actions and the strategies in the SHSP. So it's in your interest to make sure that that document reflects your priorities. And importantly, there are near-term deadlines. By August 1 of next year, the update needs to be fully adopted through the state in order to sync with some federal funding processes. So how you can help with this? There are a number of ways to get involved and to provide your input. There will be, this fall, several opportunities to provide input that will feed into the plan's completion. All of these events will take place before the draft SHSP is issued, so you have a chance to influence the process and the document before it's drafted. There will be several webinars scheduled, I think, now the last week or 2 weeks of October, that will be focused on very specific safety-related topics. Example would be one of them deals with roadway departures, intersections, and work zones. And then another one will focus specifically on pedestrians, bicyclists, and motorcyclists. And there are four other ones also. And then in early to mid-November, there will be two safety summits, one of which will be held in Sacramento, the other one in Southern California. Likely be a half-day to all-day event to gather further input on that. And we'd also like to do what we can to encourage you to encourage your staff to get involved in this process. Finally, there's a dedicated web page on the Caltrans website you see here. More information is available. I think a frequently asked questions has been added that delves a little bit more into the funding side and local involvement. There's also more pages up there that talk about the individual emphasis areas in the SHSP. And an ability to subscribe to the SHSP mailing list, and we'd welcome all of you to sign up that way. And at this time, I'd be pleased to answer any questions you may have.
Commissioner Halstead.
Well, since it's an area that I know nothing about, then I can raise some questions. But I speculate, based on no knowledge and or my experience, that the uptick may be, to some degree, because of distraction of cell phones. The use of cell phones in various ways while people are driving continues to be dramatic. I see it everywhere I go, and there is very little enforcement of it. We're all tempted by it. So I really would encourage you to add that to the sources of crashes that you're thinking about, and particularly to think about maybe getting the manufacturers, getting the IT people, getting the car manufacturers involved in finding a way to preclude us from being tempted to this great distraction. So that's my thought.
Thank you very much.
Commissioner Aguirre.
When do you think we will have the information on why it's going up, why the numbers are going up as of the last, you know, when they started going down in 2010? What types of things are you doing to find out if it is, like what Commissioner Halstead said, or when will you have information? What kind of assessment are you doing to get that?
Well, some of that information will be available and will be discussed at the outreach events I discussed coming up in October and November. And then further work, I mean, it's an ongoing process of analysis. It really kind of never stops. But the major pieces will come about when the draft SHSP is completed and begins circulated in the beginning of 2015. And I think you'll see more information at that point. But I'll say it's a continuing process. The consultant team has kind of the premier group in California, SafeTrek at UC Berkeley, looking into all the data and coming up with some of the trends.
And your work, from what I read, it's only highways, but you also mentioned pedestrian and cyclist.
I'm glad you asked that, and I think this is just a
so
nomenclature.
So they shouldn't be on the highways, correct?
I'm sorry?
So the pedestrians and cyclists shouldn't be on the highways.
No. It focuses on all public roads in all modes of transportation. So the name SHSP is just a holdover, I think, from a long-ago period when the process was put in place. But it does address pedestrian and bicycle fatalities, how they interact with each other, with motor vehicles, and what might be the causes there. So it's not a question of what we do just to improve motor vehicle safety. It's safety for everyone that travels on public roadways.
Not just state highways.
Correct.
In my final question, so when you have this breakdown of the number of casualties or fatalities moving up, do you have it broken down into pedestrian, cyclist, motor vehicles? Because we are promoting, bicycle routes in all of our cities. Want to know if that's gone up, given the fact that there are more cyclists on the road. Is that information going to be available as well?
Yeah, all of the crash data is broken, can be broken down and analyzed in hundreds of different ways. I will say at this point, the one piece that's not a requirement of the SHSP, and I think I heard you mention it, was essentially off-road bicycle trails
and
conflicts there. But that is not part.
Yeah, I didn't mean to mention that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Chair Worth.
Thank you. Just following up on Commissioner Geary's comments, I know in addition to highways, local streets and roads, one of the impacts of our terrible pavement conditions is decreasing safety on roadways because of potholes, people having to move and swerve. But one of the other areas that seems to be, I think this is helpful to have the data to understand what's causing the crashes, what are the conflicts, but can you talk a little bit about it, sort of your plans for community outreach? Because I know in local communities, building community awareness about traffic safety, speeds, awareness points about cell phones, distracted driving. I know California is a tough place. We have 37, how many million people, so getting that word out. But can you talk a little bit about how you're going to be doing the public relations outreach once kind of the plan is in place in terms of executing and building community awareness for a lot of this?
Sure. I'll start here, and I'll introduce, if she's still here, Ursula Studer with Caltrans. She might have some thoughts on the implementation side, which, of course, occurs over several years. One of the slides I skipped, it was just an indication here of some of the groups that are involved in the SHSP process. So this goes well beyond transportation planning agencies, gets a lot of ethnic, emergency response, the public health community, anti-drunk driving campaigns, all involved with this. So they're taking the message out to their constituencies and are very actively involved in the SHSP. Secondly, similar to kind of this event that we're doing here, we're also reaching out to groups throughout the state, other MPOs, but also ethnic groups, certain community groups, with presentations and encouraging their involvement. All of the webinars and the safety summits will be open to everyone. And we actually, when this was done in 2006, got very strong involvement from some of the non-traditional groups in this. We have a specific outreach process to the tribal governments and have specialists on board to assist with that process in the development of this. And Ursula, I know I'm forgetting some, so if you want to pick up on that and talk about the ongoing process with implementation.
Yeah, if you could please introduce yourself, and by the way, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, Ursula Studer. I'm the Caltrans Strategic Highway Safety Plan Project Manager for the update. So I'm actively engaged with our consultant and happy to be here this morning to introduce this plan. One of the things we do with the community is we have a number of community advocacy groups who participate in the plan and the implementation. We have a number of bicycling and walking groups who are very active in our challenge area teams. I did hear a question about distracted driving. That is one of our challenge area teams at present for the current SHSP, which means what that means is that they get together, these groups, and it includes members of the public and other government, not just high level or Caltrans employees. It includes whomever is really interested in taking part in these processes. They get together and they develop action items. What can we do to address the impaired driving or the distracted driving, or in this case, the infrastructure, potholes? How do we improve the pavement on the public roads, or is there a way we can address that? So we do bring it out to the communities. We encourage community groups to get involved, especially locally, regionally, and to provide input. And then our website is available for anyone who's interested in providing input or getting on our mailing list to get involved in these groups.
Well, thank you very much. I'm a wee bit surprised in this collection of people who spend an awful lot of our collective time on transportation matters that there weren't more hands raised when you asked that question. But as you have elucidated this the details of this program, and we now have an opportunity this fall of 2014 to participate. My question is, are there specific contacts that you make with each of our CMAs? For example, we just finished discussing county transportation plans, as you may have heard. I'm very curious about that aspect, and I'm certainly going to ask, as chair of the Operations Committee, that our staff come back with an item for a future committee agenda whereby we might, as MTC, make some input into this evidently unrecognized document. One of many plans, I know, and we're bombarded by plans, but it seems to me in our transportation management initiative that we would be well advised to make input. So just to, if you could respond to my question on congestion management agencies.
You're right. Actually, I'd like to make a comment on the last part about involvement. Is my suspicion is a lot of you are already getting funding through the HSIP program for a lot of projects locally, but may not have understood the link with the SHSP. So I'm glad we had this opportunity to be able to get you in at the front side.
Okay.
But in terms of the CMAs, part of our outreach process now is with a lot of the organizations that represent them on a statewide basis and reaching out to them. So we're trying to get out to the membership through their statewide associations.
Thank you. And I believe Commissioner Giacopini has maybe a statement or a question.
Thank you. I was just wondering if you have controlled for volume on the chart on page 7, since the dip in injuries and accidents seems to correspond to the recession, and if you have data as to whether that levels out at all when you adjust for volume of drivers.
Right, that's a common question. The information is back on the screen now, and that's just the raw numbers of crashes. But I if I'm not mistaken, the statewide travel reduction was less than 10% in that range. I don't remember the specifics, and if anybody knows, you have it. But the crashes definitely decreased more than the traffic volume decreased in that time. It was more than the recession that was at play, something else.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry,
Chair Worth.
Forgive me, Mr. Chair. I just had one other question to follow up on my previous comments. You know, this is an impressive list of part of agencies that are involved. You know, part of the challenge of traffic safety is drivers, is people driving. It's, you know, at all ages. And I guess the other question I would have is, who are included from the school community? Younger drivers, young people that are driving and riding transit and walking. And I'll give an example. The Women in Transportation Seminar has an amazing program that brings young women into learning about transportation. And we had a meeting last year with a group of seventh graders talking about their perspectives on transit and what they would like and what they need. And I think that it would be really helpful to include youth in this process because, one, they're going to, you know, beginning their driving life, that walking and biking and riding life, but also ultimately this is a group that we really want to be able to reach and target in terms of what their, you know, what they have driving habits and help them maybe avoid some of this, you know, pitfalls that other generations have stumbled into. So I guess if you could talk to me about that group, it's a little bit different than the names up there. I do see you have one university involved, but what about the younger communities?
I can say that's not an all-inclusive list, of course. We do have some youth groups involved, not as much as we'd like to see. We tend to get involved on the education side, say, through a law enforcement-type organization that might do some outreach to the younger drivers. But we haven't seen as many of the younger drivers come forward and participate. However, there is a challenge area or a focus area of teen drivers as well as elderly drivers. And the different behaviors that you'll see in those groups, those are focus areas of this plan.
And peripherally, to some extent, this time we're also targeting outreach to school administrators and to also the teachers at the high school level and grade school.
Thank you very much for that report. Thanks for joining us from Caltrans. I appreciate that. With that, and since there are no public comment cards received, I hereby adjourn this meeting of the Operations Committee until whenever it is in October that we're meeting again.